Is our scripture song today, because I'd like to preach on that psalm. So you notice the past 2 weeks, I've just been focusing on these internal graces that can help us get through life. And it takes a lot to get us through, doesn't it, with all the trials that we face. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the perfect peace, the peace that passes all understanding that the Holy Spirit gives us. Last week, we talked about joy unspeakable, how we are to rejoice no matter what. Today, I would like to focus on gratitude. I will be honest, as a pastor, nothing grates on me more than ingratitude. Because we have so much to be thankful for. And as an interesting study, I love studying God's Word, as you know. And I love it that now we can use computers to help us do it faster. But I was curious because I already knew what the main words of Psalms were. Of course, the key word of Psalms is the word praise. It shows up almost 200 times. I thought, well, if I look at the other words similar to that, like sing and rejoice and bless, is there a passage that has all of those words in it? And only one passage came up, Psalm 100. That was easy. If we're going to talk about being thankful, Psalm 100 is the psalm. So we're going to look at the whole thing together this morning, all five verses. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. So I'd like us to focus on be thankful. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you that we've already been blessed to study the word in Sunday school. Lord, to sing praises to thy name. Lord, to have others sing praises to thy name. To have prayer, to have an opportunity to give back to you. Lord, we've already been blessed in our souls. But Lord, now, as we focus on your word, we pray the Holy Spirit would take your precious word and apply it to our hearts, Lord, and just remind us how important it is that we live a life of gratitude as your children. And Lord, I pray that each of us would set aside any distractions of life right now and just open our hearts to hear from you and be changed by the power of your word, and that you would guide us in your truth and be glorified in this service. Lord, we give it to you, and we love you, and we thank you for your goodness to us that we can meet here, and for your mercy, for your protection, and we just praise your name. And so, Lord, have your will and way now in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make a joyful noise. Isn't that good? That's a sermon in and of itself. We talked about that last week. How as God's children, we are to have this joy unspeakable, this joy that can't all be contained because it comes from things that don't change. The fact that we're born again and going to heaven, the fact that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. We are to live a life of joy. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Philippians 4:4. And again, I say, rejoice. We as Christians have no excuse to not live a life of joy because of who has saved us, because of who we're in. If you go to Acts chapter 5, verse 41, I want to show you an interesting example from the lives of the apostles. But all through Scripture, God says we're to have joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But notice Acts 5:41. This is right after the apostles had yet again been persecuted by the religious leaders of the day. And after they had been beaten, it says here in Acts 5, verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Isn't that good? They didn't leave this. They had just been beaten for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ by the Jewish leaders. They didn't leave saying, woe is us. How horrible that we had to take a beating for Christ. No, they said, thank you, Lord, that we can suffer shame for Jesus. Thank you that we can just experience just a tiny little bit of what he went through on our behalf. And they were rejoicing. that they could suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't ask for it. They didn't go out seeking persecution. But it came because they stood up for Christ. And if we're going to be living a life of gratitude, it starts with living a life of rejoicing in what Christ has done for us. Moving on, Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing." Now, singing is a big part of the Christian life. We sing in church, of course, we should. It's an opportunity to worship the Lord in song. But God wants us to sing all throughout the week. And I know some of you say, well, I'm not that great of a singer. That's okay. You know, sing in the shower, sing in the forest, whatever you need to do. Just make a joyful noise. But singing is so scriptural. You know, Paul said in Psalm 40, he brought, set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. And it says, and he put a new song in my mouth. We have a new song. I mean, we have a song, and our song is about Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again to give us eternal life. And we should be living a life singing as we go. Go to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, and we'll see where God, when He saved us, He not only became our salvation and our strength, but it says here in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, that He even became our song. So He not only gave us a new song, notice Isaiah chapter 12, down in verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord, sorry, wrong chapter, that's chapter 11, "Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, but the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." That's why when we open our hymn books, who are we singing about? We're singing about the Lord. A lot of the modern day choruses you hear, it's all about man. It's all about, oh, me this, I feel this, I'm so happy about this. No, that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be lifting Him up. When we worship, we're worshiping Him. We're exalting Him. We're singing about Him. Because He's the only one worthy of glory. But we get to the New Testament, if you go to Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 19. Many people often read this verse and they think it's talking about congregational singing, which it is not. Notice it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody," where? "In your heart to the Lord." Now there's a place for congregational singing. Hebrews 2 verse 12 says, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." But there's also a place for singing in your heart. If we're going to live a life of gratitude, not only are we going to live a life of rejoicing, but we're going to live a life of singing unto Him. You know, we read in Revelation 4, Revelation 5, we see ourselves in heaven in white robes, redeemed. And you know what we see ourselves doing in heaven? One of the things we see ourselves doing is singing praise unto the Lamb that was slain. So we should probably get used to doing it down here. Amen? Singing about Him. And only about Him. So we need to be living a life of rejoicing, a life of singing. But look at verse 4. Into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. That's what our message is about today. Thanksgiving. The Bible says in Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I believe that God hates ingratitude. How do I know that? Because I look at the life of Israel when they were in the desert, and the thing that angered God the most was their ingratitude. God had rescued them from Egypt. He had destroyed their army. He gave them water out of a rock. He gave them food from heaven. And they still complained. Constantly. Rather than being thankful for all that God had provided, they always found something to complain about. And God hates it. Go to Psalm 69, verse 30. God wants us to live a life of gratitude. Psalm 69, look at verse 30, if you would, quickly. The Bible says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Did you know when we are thankful for what he has done in our lives, for what he has provided, for who he is, it magnifies him. It brings him glory when we are thankful. And that is why we're commanded all through the scriptures to live a life of gratitude. Now God reveals to us, we'll just look at a couple scriptures, Ephesians 5:20, God reveals to us a very specific list of what we're to be thankful for. So you're welcome to write the list down if you want to. Ephesians 5:20, here's the list. Giving thanks always for, there's the list, all things. There you go. All things. You mean even when trials come? That's what the Bible says. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Be thankful for always for all things. Philippians 4:6, quickly, this verse teaches us that thanksgiving or gratitude should be part of our prayer lives. When we get alone with God in the morning and we get into our prayer closet to spend time with God and worship and adore Him, a big part of that time should be thanking Him for who He is and what He's done. Notice Philippians 4:6. Most of us know this verse. Be careful for nothing. In other words, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, next two words, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then one more, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I just wanted you to see that this is a very, very common theme of the scriptures, that we are to be constantly thankful for everything. Everything. God sends someone into your life that's hard to get along with. He's got a purpose in that. Thank Him for it. God sends a trial into your life that's really tough. Thank Him for it, because He's doing something in your life. He's refining you and making you more like Jesus. You lose your job, thank the Lord. He has a plan. Instead of complaining, be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We could go on and on all the rest of the morning looking at scriptures that command us to be thankful for everything. Gratitude is a vital part of the Christian walk. And if we allow the devil to slip in there and get us into this place of ingratitude, where we're not thankful but we're constantly complaining, the devil just won a little battle in your life. Stop doing it. Start being thankful for every single thing. When Jesus told us the story about the 10 lepers, what was the purpose of that story? We know that He healed. He healed thousands of people, the Bible says. So it wasn't necessarily something special that He healed the 10 lepers. What was special about the story was that only one of them came back and said, thank you. Nine of them just went on their way. Can you imagine? You've got the worst disease ever. You're shunned from society because you've got leprosy. Your skin is falling off, literally. You know you're going to die of it. And Jesus just heals you like that with a spoken word, and you don't even say thank you? That was the point of that story. That one out of ten returned to say, thank you, Lord. And in talking about the last days in 2 Timothy 3, God said that people would be unthankful in 2 Timothy 3:2. That would be one of the earmarks of the last days, is ingratitude. So in this Psalm 100, God says that part of being grateful or having a life of gratitude is that we're joyful, that we're constantly singing, that we're thankful for everything. Down in verse 4 again, Psalm 100, and into His courts with praise. The phrase, praise the Lord, should be so natural for us. that we say it all the time. Amen? It really doesn't hurt to say it. It's not that painful to just say, praise the Lord. Is He worthy of it? Absolutely. And if we're going to live a life of gratitude, then that is something we will be doing all the time. Go to Psalm 34, verse 1, if you would. Is we're not only going to live a life of rejoicing and singing and being thankful for everything, but we are going to be praising God all the time. Psalm 34, verse 1. I love this verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that good? Continually. I'm going to be constantly praising God. That should be one of our mantras, is I'm just going to be praising God all the time. David said in Psalm 42, I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. I went to the house of God with the intent of praising the Lord. That's one of the reasons we should just can't wait to get to church so I can praise God corporately. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All day long may I be praising the Lord. And then look at Psalm 145, verse 21. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Isn't that good? One of the natural things that my mouth will be speaking on a regular basis is praise for Him. Not for man, but for God. He refers to it in Hebrews 13 as the sacrifice of praise continually. And if we're going to live a life of gratitude, then we're going to be constantly praising God. We're going to be rejoicing, as we talked about last week. We're going to be singing in our hearts all day long. Find a song and sing it, not necessarily audibly. Sing it in your heart if you need to. You know, because you don't want to shut the birds up. Constantly being thankful for what God has done. Praising the Lord. And then look at verse 4 again. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Bless His name. What does that mean? Let's look at Psalm 103. It means that every time that you are tempted to complain, that's an opportunity to say, God, you're good. God, you're powerful. God, you're wonderful. Bless His name. Look at Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. His benefits. Nobody has better benefits than God. And we should be constantly blessing Him, giving it all back to Him, and blessing His holy name. And in this psalm, God reveals why all of this is possible, that we should live a life of rejoicing and a life of singing and thanksgiving and praise and blessing the name of the Lord. Why? Look at it. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. I love that. For the Lord is good. And what it's telling us is, if we live a life of ingratitude, what we're really saying is God isn't good. That's kind of blasphemous, really. Because the Bible says God is always good. He says for us as Christians in Romans 8:28, most of us know, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we complain, we're saying God isn't good. Which is what Israel constantly said in the desert, isn't it? God brought us out here to kill us. He brought us out here to kill our kids. He brought us out here to kill our animals. In other words, He's not good. But God is good. And that's one of the reasons why we can constantly live a life of gratitude, because God is good. But not only that, he goes on to say at the end of verse 5, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we can constantly live a life of gratitude, not only because God is good, but because he's given us this. Amen? This endures. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God said in Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. How can we not constantly be praising God and be thankful for all he's done when we know he's good all the time, and he's even written down everything we need in this book and preserved it for us and given it to us? Look at Psalm 119, verse 62, if you would. I love what David said here about the Word of God and gratitude. He said at midnight, Psalm 119, 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, he didn't have an alarm clock, but he said, Lord, if I wake up during the night, I'm going to take time to thank you for your word. Isn't that good? Over in 164, same chapter, look at Psalm 164, or Psalm 119, 164, he said, seven times a day do I praise thee. Why? Because of thy righteous judgments. Isn't that good? Lord, I'm going to praise you seven times a day just because of your word. So our life needs to be a life of constant gratitude, because God is always good, and God has given us his precious word to guide us, to feed us, to strengthen us, to build us. And it's the same word by which we will be judged one day. We read about that in John 12:48. So be thankful. That's our message today. We need that perfect peace. We need joy unspeakable. But we also need gratitude, to where we're constantly rejoicing, we're singing, we're thankful for everything. We are praising God and we're blessing his holy name, because he is worthy. And if the devil has somehow snuck in there and has you complaining, you need to stop, because that's sin. Stop complaining, start thanking, start praising, start singing. And it'll literally change your life. Circumstances won't change. We're still going to have trials and problems and people and troubles, but your perspective will change if you learn to live a life of gratitude and be thankful always for all things. That is God's will. And the next time we sing this together, let's remember that the focus of this passage is all about being grateful for who God is, being grateful for his word, that he's always good. And it talked there in verse 3 about him being our creator. Just the fact that we're here is something to be thankful for, amen? That we're alive and that we're saved. We're God's children. If you just stop and start being thankful, it doesn't end, because there's so much to be thankful for. And you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to spend a lot of time thanking the Lord for what he's done for us. So let's do it down here. Be thankful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for